For too long, the fertility market has been bewildering, overwhelming, and frankly, I think has downright ignored the needs and difficult experiences of the people they're supposed to be serving. Ovum has made it their mission to change this completely. Now, I am extremely choosy about who I promote on this podcast because I'm very protective of my listeners and audience, which is why you've probably only ever heard one spoken ad like this before. So it's with complete confidence, excitement, and pride that I can share this amazing company with you. Ovum care about you, truly. From creating products to support conception and fertility that are designed by doctors and backed by the latest science without cutting any corners, from adding access to meditations I've personally written and recorded inside their pregnancy test boxes, Ovum is founded by individuals who've navigated infertility themselves. I really couldn't be more proud to partner with them and tell you about them. Ovum is driven by the belief that everyone who is trying to conceive deserves better, and I am 100% behind this ethos. So head over to startwithovum.com and use code LIFERAFT10 for 10% off their tests and supplements.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hello and welcome back to the TTC Life Raft. It is episode 3. I am sitting here in my spare room at home looking at the most beautiful blue sky and the sun is shining. Today actually marks the start of Baby Loss Awareness Week here in the UK, and the first thing that I want to do is just send anybody who has been affected by baby loss the biggest and warmest love. I am thinking of you. And I hope that wherever you are in the world and however you're coping with this week, you feel supported and connected to your friends and your family. And if you don't, then I urge you to seek support online through the wonderful and very loving warm space within the Instagram community, or just let this podcast be something that you can hang on to and feel that connection with people who really, really do get it. For the last episode, I spoke to the wonderful Anna Whitehouse, otherwise known as Mother Pucker, about her experience with loss and how that affected her relationship with Matt, her husband. This week, I actually wanted to put out something completely different. I know that it's going to be a really difficult and extremely emotionally charged week for a lot of people. So I really wanted to provide something which could have the potential to lift you up and maybe make you think about things a little bit differently. I spoke to the brilliant, the wonderful, the inspiring, and the completely unique Lucy Sheridan, who is the UK's first and only comparison coach. Now, she is actually not related to the fertility world per se, but everything that she says, everything that she talks about really resonated with me. And I thought that actually all of you guys would really benefit from hearing some of her pearls of wisdom. And she really has these brilliant ways of articulating feelings that we all have around comparison and how comparing ourselves to others really does affect how we actually act. And I struggle with it all the time. And it's something that I did write a chapter on in my book, which I'm working on, called Ending Comparisons, before I knew about Lucy. And then when I found her and I thought, oh, she's got it nailed. I need to speak to this lady. So we had a really, really nice, really lovely call on Skype, because Lucy has moved to this beautiful house up in the Peak District. So we're quite far away. I'm down in London. And I really hope that you get so much from this. I really feel like this is the sort of material I was really hoping to find for this podcast. Really useful content, really nourishing content. And nourish is a word that we actually use quite a lot in this chat. So enjoy. And here she is, the wonderful Lucy Sheridan. Thank you so much for squeezing me in. Like, I appreciate it so much because I know how busy you are and I know how in demand you are. And I mean, I've been following you since my friend Stevie met you at an event, saw you talk, said, you've got to follow Lucy Sheridan. She's amazing. So I started following you and I just get so much from what you say all the time. And I'm sure you must hear this a lot, but there was something about it which just resonated so much for me. And I just thought, I think a lot of my followers would really benefit from hearing what you've got to say. And it's something that is a really difficult problem when you're trying to conceive and when if you're going through cycles of treatment and comparison I'm talking about here, just for the record. I just wondered I kind of know your story, but do you want to just tell me, like, how did you come into doing what you're doing?
So because my job title is pretty specific, you don't find it like an easy box to tick on LinkedIn, but I am the comparison coach basically, and I help people stop comparing themselves to other people. And for me, it's been a case of teach what you need to learn. So I can remember from a very young age comparing myself to other people, whether it was, swimming badges when we were kind of like 6 years old, right through to how my body was developing, then how I was performing academically, and then it followed me around into my career and my personal life too. So when things got kind of really tricky in my 20s, and I had, I think looking back now, a bit of a breakdown, I set myself and invited myself, I suppose, to look at this trait, this pattern. And I was also doing a life coaching training at the time, and I thought, if I could think and feel myself into this, could I think and feel myself out of it? And the interesting thing, I was doing the life coaching training just as, almost a bit of a healing exercise myself. I had no intention of taking it on to in a professional way. I thought I might absorb some of it into my other role then, when I was working in the advertising industry. And I thought I might be able to kind of, take my relationships to, professionally to more depth. But I never would have thought the two would come together so perfectly, I suppose you could say. And I was able, through what I learned through the training, and then applying that and tailoring the exercises and putting them under a microscope of how they apply to comparison, was able to come up with a set of tools and techniques which did indeed help. And then a few things happened, this was about 5-6 years ago now, so a few things happened where it felt right to leave that role, and I thought, well, I'll go freelance and I'll try and ride both surfboards in terms of doing a bit of coaching and also freelance doing what I was doing in the advertising industry as a role. And what I noticed was, when I talked about general themes of life, for example, let's say work-life balance, people were kind of interested. But if I did a blog or even just spoke to my friends in the pub about comparison, I noticed there was this spike and the conversation would go on and on. Even people that have been quite around the table would have something to say. And it would just kind of struck me, wow, it was a real taboo back then. It's less so now. But it was a real taboo then. People held a lot of shame around it. And so I thought, well, I'm sure I can help people because I've been able to help myself and through what I've been able to learn. So I thought, I'll do a test, and for 30 days I'll call myself a comparison coach. And this was when the wellbeing industry was really, like, very much in its infancy and burgeoning in the UK anyway. And so I thought, this is kind of high risk, but let's go with it and see what happens. And if after 90 days it's not worked, it's blown over, there's no interest, then cool, I'll go back to something different. And yet if it does take off, then I'll go with that. And I'm glad to say it was the latter, and here I am having the pleasure of speaking to you today.
I mean, taking off is definitely what happened, because it seems to have, I feel like comparison is at the root of everything. When I was doing a lot of self-transformation and self-development, when I was going through my first fertility struggle, and I realized that comparison was just this peace thief, happiness killer, all of those things which you know and understand so well. And when I was writing or working on my book, and I did a whole chapter on ending comparisons, and I realized that that was such a huge block to me being free while I was actually trying to get pregnant. How does it affect everything?
It's an interesting thing, because there are people that don't compare. And my brother's one of those people, for example. He walks through life and life's just one big Pinterest board. You know, someone gets a promotion, great, congratulations, someone gets engaged, or there's another life milestone, it's, oh, all power to you. He doesn't see that as a disconnecting, separating thing. But then there are the rest of us. And I think comparison will show up in different ways for us. So I used to be a real comparison generalist, where I would compare myself to people and different things all the time. Body shape, career, personal life. It was, you know, I was almost like I had a stock exchange going up in my head where I could kind of see where I was and, you know, putting myself above people as much as below people. So it's a nasty trait when you're kind of very advanced in it, like I have been. And yet, what I'd say now is, as I've grown up, my comparison's grown differently too. So it tends to be career stuff that triggers my comparison, because I don't think it's necessarily something we can destroy and dissolve out of, you know, out of the ether completely. And that takes a lot of pressure off, actually. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. I do think it's a human trait. The goal is to make comparison feel less and have bigger gaps in between those experiences. If you can land anywhere on the scale further down than you were, it's like that's a big victory moment. But however comparison shows up, maybe different for you than for me and for someone listening, I think ultimately what is a golden thread that binds us in common is that we are feeling disconnected from ourselves or our path. So sometimes this is a disconnection from ourselves where we are really hard on ourselves and we doubt our ability to make change in the moment, or we beat ourselves up because of choices we made in the past, or we worry about the future, or sometimes we feel disconnected from a path because maybe it isn't ours anymore. So let's just say, let's choose an area of comparison which might be career. We see someone getting promoted at work, or, you know, starting their own business, and we see that promotion come in, and it might have been that we really wanted to kind of climb the corporate ladder at one time, but we're comparing ourselves to something which actually isn't aligned with us anymore. And that's when comparison can get particularly tricky, because we have to walk through the kind of the tanglement of, but what do I actually want? What's this trying to teach me? So ultimately, I would say, you know, we are all linked by our comparison, but it's because we are feeling disconnected from ourselves, which means that it kind of manifests in us pitting ourselves against each other, which isn't useful or, you know, productive at all, but it's just so easy to do.
And what would you say to someone, because a lot of the time what people struggle with is pregnancy announcements, and instantly you get that, like, oh, it's like a blow, and you just think, why are they having this? What about me? When is it my turn? What's your advice? Like, how do we change our response to that, or how do we be kind to ourselves?
I think there's a couple of views I have on this. Now, one of them, of course, is that, you know, practice excellent self-care and, you know, really have a very high hygiene factor around your feed. And I'm sure those listening today will be very careful in monitoring what they follow and what they choose not to follow, just bearing in mind, you know, what's going to make, you know, protect your own space and protect your feeling. I also think that something which can really help dissolve comparison and lessen it is the joining in communities and making sure that we aren't isolating ourselves when we're having a certain experience. So having somewhere like, you know, your podcast to go to, Alice, or, you know, following hashtags that unite people having that experience can make us feel less alone and less like an island. Because, you know, that when you have that feeling, you see that pregnancy announcement and it's like, yeah, when is it my time? It can feel like a very lonely experience. Maybe, you know, if you have a partner, they're struggling to connect with how you're feeling, or if you're kind of solo on the journey too, that can add even more pressure as well. So I think seeking out community, being honest, and finding safe spaces to be vulnerable. Because this is the other thing as well, in terms of comparison is smart, because we are. So it will sometimes deliver that double punch, as in, I'm comparing myself to that, you know, I see that pregnancy announcement, I'm comparing my situation to someone else's, but I should be happy for them. So first you get the first punch of, oh, that feels horrible, and then the second punch of, oh my God, I'm being that person. And I think, you know, that extra layer of judgment isn't helpful too. So it's interesting that often kind of, you know, and it's a really obvious and necessary question, like, what can we do to stop it? I do think there's a layer, a step before that, which is accepting your experience such that you are not judging yourself as much as maybe you've been prone to be. Because that's not with a like it or lump it, intent. It's really the way that we can be so hard on ourselves, rush ourselves through, when actually we need to process and integrate even the sadness, even the grief, even the difficulty, even though it hurts, it's painful. The rush sometimes to get out of that means that it will just boomerang around when maybe there's more at stake, you're further down the line, or things are even trickier. And so I think that's something which I know some people are uncomfortable with, but it's, even if you can just be in it for 5 minutes, you will take the edge off the next time it comes around. I really do believe that.
I think that's so right. And I talk about acceptance quite a lot. And it's sometimes I worry that it's kind of coming across in the wrong way, that I'm kind of going, no, you just have to accept the fact that you're on this horrible, horrible journey. it can be taken the wrong way. But actually, in the way that you've just described how it helps, I think is so useful and so important for people to just start sitting with those feelings and not brushing them under the carpet.
Exactly. Even if it's for 5 minutes at a time, healing can't be rushed. But like, you know, if we suppress it, I think there will be more to come later. And there's only some things we can't run from.
Yeah.
And that's difficult too, especially when I was reading one of your blogs, Alice, there's so many well-meaning people out there where actually, you know, if you're on a fertility journey, and it's something I've shared too, and this is if you are embarking on anything which is important to you, whether that might be trying to plan a trip somewhere, ask someone to marry you, build a house extension, I don't know, whatever's important to you, you know, you embark on fertility or continue a fertility journey, I would say you don't have to share anything you don't want to. Or you can share everything in every detail. There's no kind of social media police or communications police out there. But there's a spiritual teacher that I used to really like the books of, and his name's Dr. Wayne Dyer. And I always remember that one thing I took from one of his books, which I think is called Wishes Fulfilled or something quite cheesy. There was this paragraph and he talked about if something's important to you, build a temple for it in your heart and guard it. And that's really stuck with me. So I will, you know, in my work, my life, I might make announcements or share news every so often if it's pertinent. Or I might share if something hasn't gone well too. But I'll only share if I've healed it. And I'll only share when it's kind of like, I'm sure that it's about to, like, it's happened, like the ink is dry, whatever it is. And that's not about kind of being mistrustful or you know, jinxing things. I don't believe in that. I choose not to live in a world where we jinx things. That's just a belief of mine. But it's, you know, if it's important to you, let it grow and just be yours for a little while. Because I think that especially with you know, areas, well, you know, topics like fertility, your life and you are too precious, and it is too precious to become the fodder and gossip of other people and to become like a Facebook comment thread. Unless you are open to the advice. But you know, if you want to share as well that things aren't going well, I think you can say, like, I am not open to any advice. I just want to be seen and heard on this. People hit you with emojis like faster than you can say emoji, you know. But it's just share to the level that you want to. Be aware that your comparison is going to be around. But I do think, you know, expect to have comparison too. Expect it. And that takes the pressure off you feeling like you have to be the perfect person.
I think that's so amazing, that idea, the visualisation of the temple and guarding it is really lovely. And I find like visualisation really, really helpful. I don't know if you've got, have you got any specific tools or techniques that you could help us to, because I feel like it's like that recognising comparison, isn't it? Like instantly that gives you that space between you and the comparison, right?
Absolutely. It's funny because, and I don't know if you can relate to this, Alice, like when I kind of got into self-development and heard people talk about visualization, I was like, oh, it's using your imagination. I've always been a bit of a daydreamer.
Yeah.
And even from like being young, I can remember, I don't know, maybe being before an exam and knowing it would go well, or visualizing it going well, because I was like, oh God, this will be boring. I need to do something else. And it's a big part of like my personal practice, even from a point of view, like I kind of shared with you before we came on, like, for the last year or so, I've just had a bit of a difficult time in my nervous system. I've experienced a lot of stress, and because my signs of stress are different from when I was working in the advertising industry, it kind of, it's been a bit sneaky. I've been using visualization to kind of just picture having a calm morning before I have my lunch. So not even like my big vision, you know, house in Malibu or whatever. That wouldn't necessarily be on my vision board anyway. It's on yours, but I use it as a bite-sized everyday remedy. I don't just use it for my big life vision elements, which I will tend to do that, like on the new moon and the full moon. I'll maybe tap into something bigger there. But for me, it's an immediate helpful tool there, and it's as simple as, you know, I'll put my hand on my heart, my other fingers on my pulse, and I'll just be kind of very in my body. And then I might just close my eyes and because I just think about not getting many emails. I know that sounds silly, but that feels very nourishing. I would definitely recommend visualization. I think it can work for lots of things in terms of just feeling better. And when you're not feeling good, just feeling okay is really sexy, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, people like, it's funny, when people kind of find out what I do, I think there's lots of maybe perceptions about life coaches being like, you know, punch the air and big smiles. And I you know, from someone that's experienced anxiety in my life, I just love being neutral.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like just not caring anymore as much can feel like a huge, huge milestone when something's maybe been toxic or eaten you up for a while.
Yeah, and just to feel that kind of relief and that relaxation of like, oh, I don't have that horrible, you know, anxious feeling about whatever it is, definitely. Yeah, so visualization I find really helpful. And I think if people haven't done it before, it's just like you say, it's not a difficult, it's actually really simple.
It's really, really simple. Really, really simple, yeah. You know, especially if you're on, like, for example, a fertility journey, if you feel like life is very, very serious, for me, it just puts the world at arm's length, and that's what I need.
Yeah.
I just need that space to breathe. And not see, you know, be able to see the wood from the trees, basically.
I think that's it. And I think you can get really overwhelmed when you're in the middle of a fertility struggle, like, for so many reasons. And especially when maybe you're in the middle of your 2-week wait, and it's about trying to be present. I mean, that's always what I try to advise people to do is to do every trick in the book to try and stay present, because as soon as you start projecting into the future, or living in the past and remembering past cycles that haven't worked, or where you've lost a pregnancy, then it can trigger all these horrible anxious feelings.
Yeah.
What are your best tips for staying present? How can we do that? Because I know you were talking about being in your body and like feeling your finger on your pulse. That's a really nice way to do it, I guess.
This may not be for everyone, but I'll answer the question honestly. I really like to use oracle decks and tarot cards. So my morning practice would be, wake up, morning routine, have coffee, of course. And then I'll burn some incense, light a candle, and then I've got one of my decks here, and I'll pull a card. And it's not kind of a really spooky experience. I just shuffle the cards, and as I do so, I'm asking, like, what is the biggest insight for me today? Or if I keep anything in mind above all else, what is it to be? And I'll pull a card, or one will flip out, or sometimes happen, and I'll just really sit with that message and think about how it applies to me. And then that thought, you know, no matter what comes in the day, that thought will be present and can circle back to help me too. And I'll do that most mornings, but something is, you know, doing something that is connecting as well. So not necessarily like numbing out with Netflix, but like, I've got a dog, and I'll listen out for the sound of her claws on the floor. I know that sound, it's like my favourite sound.
That
makes me feel very present, and that will like bring a little smile to my face, even if I'm kind of up to my eyeballs in something different, you know. So it's like finding these little ways to connect back with yourself. And I know there are whole books and courses written about mindfulness, to the point where I find it a bit intimidating knowing where to start, but I know they work for me. And my belief around the oracle tarot cards is, it's not, you know, it's me just connecting with my higher self, like Lucy that always knows, Lucy that never doubts, Lucy that really is like trying her best and wants to kind of come through. Maybe sometimes my ego mind doesn't let that, and that is just, for me, it's very centering practice to do that in the daytime, in the morning. And sometimes if I'm feeling I need a bit of extra support as well, I'll pull a card at night before I go to bed too. But that's not going to be for everyone. But like I say, an honest answer to an honest question.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's really fascinating, because I've actually never used those. So for anyone who doesn't know what an oracle deck is, can you talk about them?
An oracle deck is a set of cards illustrated. Like, this is one called The Wisdom of the Hidden Realms. If you go onto Amazon, you'll find loads on there. It's some great ones by Kyle Gray. So they're a set of cards, and then I will... They've each got a message on them. So I'll pull a card, and it, this one is number 17, Sisters of the Seasons. And they're always illustrated very beautifully, but the illustration is very allegorical, so there's messages in the illustration too. So I'll sit with that and really centre it, and then I look at what number 17 is here, and I'll read the message that it says. And then there is significance about whether the card is straight or it's upside down, which is reversed, and it has a specific message to it. And I'll just, I say just, but I'll prop that card up on my desk for the day, and then as I'm shutting down, I'll put it back in its box. But they can be very beautifully illustrated. Similarly with tarot cards, which I know some people might, they can be quite polarizing. I'm a fan, and I use a lovely deck. It's called the Star Child deck, and they're designed very beautifully. And again, pulling the card, seeing what it says to me, and then looking for the significance in the words that support it too. It's just an extra pep. Mm. But it always checks me in and will always give me, it will always resonate on some level.
So to me, that sounds like that is your life raft, if we're going with that analogy, because I try to encourage people to kind of find whatever works for them and then just hang on to that. And, you know, I found my kind of life raft when I did this course called The Artist's Way, and that was my thing. And yeah, it was completely transformative and life changing. And, you know, when I was going through a really, really difficult time, I'd go back to that course and I'd do the tasks and I would just follow, you know, I would have something that I could cling to.
Yeah, and I think that something that's also helped me is that there's this great expression, and I think the writer's name is the psychologist, the business writer, I think he's called Jim Rohn, and he has an expression which has stuck with me, and it's, you are the sum of the five people you spend the most time with. And I think that's another, like, to use your beautiful analogy, another life raft for me. And when I was going through a bit of a difficult time about 2 years ago, I realised that it wasn't that I didn't have a supportive circle. I didn't really have a circle of sorts. And I wanted to get really clear and mindful and curate that. So I had my husband on the table because he's a pretty cool guy. And, you know, then there was another good friend too. And I thought, okay, from some of the five people I spend the most time with, who do I want to spend time with? And so I thought, well, I'd rather have empty seats than kind of people just occupying them anyway. Mm. So I started to buy loads of audiobooks from writers that I really previously loved to read. And then this sounds a bit weird, but I thought, if I can bring them into my life in this audio way, I can sit them at the table. You know, and I'm arguably spending like 2 hours with Oprah. That's more than spending with anyone else. You know, whatever it is. And I was able, that was really very nourishing as well. And I put myself in a bubble of, like, not positivity to bypass, but of nourishing, supportive content, I suppose, want of a better term. And so it's things like, you know, always have podcasts on that do support you and where you're at, that you can just, even if it means that you'll actually daydream if you're kind of listening to something. But so putting yourself in a bubble, I think, is really important. And that's whether it's having nourishing content to read or listen to or watch on YouTube, for example. If you have to binge it, because it will make all the difference, I think.
I think that's really, really great advice, because I think there is a temptation to just go, I just need to go and just zone out, and like you were saying, numb out on Netflix, and there's absolutely a place for that, definitely. But then there's also a time when you need to go, okay, I'm not doing that sitting with what's happening, I'm not nourishing, and I'm not doing the work, you know. And actually, once you do the work, and it sounds like it's going to be hard, but actually surrounding yourself with really amazing podcasts and reading some books, and like, you know, it's actually so nourishing. Yeah. Nourishing is the word. I just think that's the perfect word. Here's a question for you. So what do you do if you're kind of on the go? Because you're kind of doing quite well and you're doing your nourishing work and you're kind of in your bubble and you've got your life raft equipment, but then you find yourself at a social occasion and your comparison just creeps up out of the blue, sneaky, sneaky. What do you do kind of on the hoof? Like, how can you sort yourself out like that?
That's a good question too. Because, and again, it's realising, even if you're a room full of people, you can always go to the loo for a couple of minutes and give yourself space. Because that's, I think, where comparison, although that negative or difficult experience comes in, is when it's allowed to take root, we feel like we've got nowhere to go. And I think also like having tools to, this sounds a bit harsh, but like shut down conversations that aren't helpful for you. Mm. I am absolutely fine with you, whoever, like whatever you want to do, like just be selfish or self-full, as my friend calls it, which I love that. Be as self-full as you need to in that moment. Did that 5-minute conversation can be nipped in the bud, it means it doesn't ruin the rest of your day. It's worth it to say, oh, do excuse me, oh, that sounds great, all the best with it. What else is going on? Just move it along, shut it down. Similarly, if questions are coming your way, and, you know, I watched that video you did about, like, are you sure you're having sex, right? It's like, you don't need, like, your friend of a friend, like, talking to you about your intimate life. And again, it's too important to be the fodder of the people. But it's just finding ways to move conversations along. Not because you're being shifty or untruthful, but it's because they don't deserve it. Like, nobody deserves your truth if it's sensitive, and it needs to be protected around that too. But a technique that my friend Corinne shared to me, actually, was she saw, so I think she was having trouble with the car or something, and she was in, I think she was on the way to a meeting in Knightsbridge in London, and she saw some of this like really beautiful car, and instead of being like, oh god, like rub it in my face universe, she was like, good for you and the same for me, good for you and the same for me. And she said, like, saying it out loud and doing the pointing absolutely centers you in your body, and also it overrides the comparison system. So it's a bit like you can't go left and right at the same time, you have to go either or. Like, good for you and the same for me, so affirmative, and like cuts off the oxygen to comparison, that it will pep you enough to get through the conversation, but also support you when you've left it too. We're not kind of caught in our thoughts of, oh god, I can't believe another person.
Yeah, I love that. And it's just kind of having that kind of thing in the back of your head. It's like having something in your back pocket, isn't it?
That's, you know, exactly it. Yeah,
back, yeah, pocket, yeah, yeah. And you can just whip it out, and then you're then you're armed, and you've got your thing.
There will be days when, you know, nothing can work, and that's when you have to get under a blanket, make yourself a chai tea or whatever you want, and just go with it, and just like just be in that winter moment. There will be times you're like, oof, shook it off, thank goodness, right, on to the next thing, or I'm going to Tesco now, whatever it is you have to do in your day, it doesn't take hold, which is a really special moment, it doesn't take hold.
Definitely, and just having that ability to sit with that, like we were saying, you know, and it's understanding, like, when you need to get in under the duvet and make the chai tea as well, like, being intuitive and understanding, this is what I need to do now. I'm going to wrap it up. But is there anything else that you want to say at this point, like after the chat
just
that we've had?
Thank you for having me. And if comparison is something that you experience, then I'm posting often twice a day over on Instagram at Lucy Sheridan. So you're welcome to come in and join the party there. And I hope that I can further help in any way that I can.
Yeah, and do go and follow Lucy, because she is amazing. And I honestly get so much from you every day, Lucy. So
it really means the world. Thanks,
thank
Alex.
You. Thank you for all your time and for your amazing work. Thank you so much, Lucy, for your time and for your wisdom and for sharing so much of yourself with me for this podcast. I really hope that you all loved that chat as much as I loved having it. And I have used, even over the last couple of days since we had that conversation, I've been using the good for you and good for me too technique when something has happened that's made me realize that I've got comparison creeping up. And I call them the gremlins. So my comparison is a gremlin. And in fact, TTC gremlins is a thing. Well, it's a thing that I've kind of started, but it's a thing that is helpful to recognize when those gremlins come up. So I think for this week's Life Raft tool that I'd like to share with you is, see if you can practice recognizing those gremlins when they come up, and it just gives you that distance and that space between you and that feeling. So rather than just feeling rubbish because you've seen another pregnancy announcement, or you've seen that, you know, a friend that you haven't seen for ages has got 3 kids and you're struggling to conceive your first, you start to recognize the feelings that you're actually having. All feelings are valid, and that's a really important thing to remember. All feelings are valid, even if it's anger or bitterness, you know, that's absolutely fine to have those feelings. Just acknowledge them, validate them, and then let them go and decide what you want to do with them. I really hope that was useful for you, and let me know how you are. I absolutely love hearing from you. Please, please do go and rate and review this podcast. It really helps people to find it and gives me the motivation to keep pouring all my time and love and work into bringing this to you. I am so grateful to all the people who are reaching out to me and who want to be on this podcast. It's really, really wonderful. And I've got lots of wonderful conversations that have been recorded and that I'm editing, and lots of ideas for where I would love it to go. So do keep in touch with me. Also want to reassure people that I do have some men lined up to come and speak with me as well. It's not just for women. So I really hope that you enjoy the chats that I've got coming up, and I hope that you have a great week. Lots of love to all of you, and thank you very much again for being here with me. It's an absolute honour to have you. Take care.